Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and good morning, everyone. Welcome to Preacher Bill and the Gospel Hour message. This morning's message is I Know, and I'll explain that to you when we get to it. There's a reason why I chose that topic, and there's some scriptures that go along with it. We're going to use Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 through 26, and then John 14, and 2 Timothy chapter 1. So if you want to put your finger on there, as always, I have a song for you, and then we're going to do some prayer requests. I want you to at least have an opportunity, get your chance to put your fingers on that. So this morning, if you would, put your finger on Matthew chapter 16, and here's our first song. It's I Know Who Holds My Future, or I Know Who Holds Tomorrow by Carol Robertson. Then we'll do prayers. This isn't that long, folks. This is about a 2-minute song.
I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its sky may turn to gray. I don't worry. Today I'll walk beside him, for he knows what is ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. But the one who feeds the sparrow is the one who stands by me. And the path that be my portion may be through the flame or flood, but his presence goes before me, and I'm covered by his.
This morning, sad news but good news, in a way, for some. Sandy's brother has passed, Sandy Washer. We've been asking for prayer for Sandy Washer, for her brother, for the last few days this week. He passed away last night at 3:15, and he has no more suffering. He's home now with the Lord, and that's what I mean by the good part. Because he was suffering, he didn't have to suffer anymore. The Lord brought him home. God bless him. So there's that with Sandy, and there's some other issues that we're going to get into. But before we go to Sandy's issues and the others, Patty Winger is asking for prayer for her children. I know her and I have talked over the last several weeks about her children and the sufferings and things that are going on there. And pray for Patty also. Pray for spiritual uplifting for the whole family, that they would start to go to church and get more around and closer with God. There's issues going on there that are for them to deal with the Lord and not for us to even be bothered with. But there's some issues there. We just ask you to pray for them. Marcia Rivas still dealing with her cancer. Dottie Fennell, Robin Carvel, Vaughn, Kimberly Whitner, Cindy Maloney. These are people that are asking for unspoken. So we'll ask for those. Father, we just ask for prayers for those that we have there. And then we have some more of Sandy's. Sandy's always sending me prayer requests. He sends me a list every Saturday, if not early in the morning on Sunday. So Sandy has asked again for Ruby, who's battling with dementia, confusion, health issues. David S., his liver disease, still waiting on that transplant list for his liver. Richard, for uplifting, for stomach cancer, depression. You know, when you go through these health problems, folks, some of you know this. I don't have to tell you that. And we're not talking about a cold or a sinus infection. We're talking about serious health problems. You start to get very depressed because life's probably going to pass you by, or you don't know how long you'll have or if you'll be cured or not cured, especially when it comes to these cancer issues. So we're asking for prayers for those. Stacy S. for overall health treatments, her options there. She's paralyzed now, and she's having problems with her finances. So please pray for her. Pray for Jeanette, ongoing battle with lung cancer. Michael, serious health issues. Milo, still up in the air about his herniated disc issues, and we just ask that the Lord would touch his heart and help him not to feel so negative about the doctors and what's going on, but to find a good specialist that can help him with the herniated disc that he has. Milo works in the woods. He's a woodsman. So he's always working heavy-duty stuff, and I know I've seen Milo. Milo worked on my property as well. And he's a good worker. His dad's a great guy. His dad was a good boy. He was Sandy's ex-husband. Sandy's husband that passed away over a year ago. So please pray for them, pray for the family, pray for Sandy. For Sandy's pastor, we're asking for prayer for him. He's got some cancer issues, but he's been doing well. The cancer's been taken care of pretty much. He's still going for treatment, so please pray for him that he'd be at peace with that and be comfortable. Today, family members of mine are heading back to Connecticut and different places around the country. They came in to visit for my sister-in-law, 6. Pray for safe travels for all of them to go back home. For my mother-in-law, for her dementia, my wife and I have to deal with that quite often. We'll have to deal with some more issues coming up with that as well in the future here. So please pray for our mother-in-law and Teresa's mother. Pray for the families that do the food pantries around here. It's a hard job. I got to find out last Monday just how hard it is. I stayed the whole day with him. I started out by helping him get the food in, getting it sorted out, cleaning up afterwards. There's a lot of work involved, and a lot of people have no clue. They just think that they go in there, they get food, and that's it. But there's a lot of work that gets done behind the scenes to do that, including the pickups prior to, and then the sorting of it and throwing out the old stuff in the garbage. It's a lot of work. Just pray for the workers, please. So thank you for that, and pray for the message, folks. I hope that it touches some souls this morning. Father, we just ask that you hear our prayers this morning, listen to them, and heal these people and those that are at the point, Lord, that you bring them home. Don't let them suffer any longer. This is ridiculous. We know they're going to go home to a better place. We know you keep them here, though. We know that people are left here for a reason, Father. Our work isn't done until you say it's done, and then you bring us home. But until then, at least use us to glorify your name. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. This morning's message out of Matthew is one that I think you're going to like. I really do, when you get the gist of it. Matthew 16, verse 21, we're going to start there. It says, from that time, this is Jesus, he's foretelling his death and his resurrection. It says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem, and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and then be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. He was arguing with him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. In other words, don't go. You don't need to do this. Well, Jesus said to him, but he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Let's stop right there for a second and pray. Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you for what Jesus is telling us here. He wasn't angry with Peter. He was angry with Satan for the doubt and placing that in Peter's heart. Thank you for letting us share the word, Lord, in Jesus' name. You see, the reason I stopped there is for this purpose. Jesus knew at that very moment that he had to tell his disciples what was going to happen. He had to tell them where he was going. He had to prepare them for what was coming. And he said this. he said to Peter, he said, "Get thee behind me." And he was talking to Satan. And he said, "For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." You see, we run in fear when troubles come. We run, as soon as some kind of temptation or trouble or something that causes a fear in us, we run. We want, that's the devil getting us to be afraid of what God has planned for us. If God tells us to do something, right, like witness to somebody, the devil whispers in our ear, he says, "Don't tell them that, they don't want to hear about God." And so we don't, and the devil wins. See, that's Satan whispering in our ear, and that's what Jesus was saying here. Satan was trying to whisper in his ear using Peter. Sometimes our friends will say, "Let's not go over there, let's not do this, let's not go do that." But that's where God wants us to be. He wants us to share with the gospel. He wants us to be around certain people. And regardless of how they act or react to the word, they've heard the word. They can't escape it. In verse 24 it says, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Again, he said, deny yourself. It's not about you, folks. It's about what the Lord asks you to do. Do the Lord's work. Share the gospel. Don't be afraid. Don't run from it. Don't let the devil scare you. Don't let the devil cause any doubts or fears in your mind. Verse 25, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." Amen. You see, we're supposed to give of ourselves no matter what. We're supposed to say, okay, if the Lord calls us to do something, we should do it, regardless of what we want. There's many things in my life I'd like to do, and I've decided that it's better that I do what the Lord asked me to do. Verse 26 says, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" You see, man can't do anything to save his soul from heaven. Man can't do anything. Man can only cause himself to go to hell by rejecting Jesus Christ. Everything Jesus did from the time he said, "I'm going to go to Jerusalem, they're going to crucify me, they're going to put me on a cross, they're going to kill me, but I'm going to come back." Everything Jesus said he was going to do, he did. That's why the topic of the message is, I know. Jesus knew what was coming. Jesus knew because he was there with the Father in heaven, and this was planned out. He knew there would come a time that he'd have to do things and make sacrifices. He would have to do things against his natural human self and do what's right spiritually, because that's what Father in heaven has said to do. And if we look at our Bible tells us what to do. It tells us what God says so we can have a glorious life in heaven. It also tells us if we don't do those things, we can end up in hell. So you know, folks, you can know. If you don't know, I'm telling you, you now know. You are to follow Jesus Christ, and you won't go to hell. You can't deny it later. There's no getting around it. You've heard the word. You've heard me just say, you have to follow Jesus in order to get to heaven. So when the day comes, if you're not in heaven and you end up in the other place called hell, you can only say to yourself, well, I rejected him and I chose to go to hell rather than go to heaven. You're making that choice is what I'm telling you, folks. In verse 26, it says, "For what is a man profited?" You know, what does he profit if he gains the whole world? No matter what we do in this world, no matter whether we go to work every day, work 24 hours a day, work 7 days a week at 10 hours a day, have great possessions. We don't have love in our heart, and if we don't try to provide for those that are in need, or do and help for those that when they need help, we don't gain anything. There are some people that we shouldn't help. We shouldn't help an alcoholic get more booze. We shouldn't help a person who smokes get more cigarettes. I myself have seen the disaster of both of those. Okay? And there are other things. We shouldn't be helping those that won't help themselves. If a person will not work, they should not eat, the Bible says. Now, believe me, when it comes to that, there are people that cannot work, or they choose not to work because of a health issue. But it's not because they cannot do something to help, be it a volunteer even, or if they're out helping others in the neighborhood. But you should do something to help others, those that are down and out. But those that want to go and get a tattoo and not pay their rent, we shouldn't be helping. Those that want to go out and smoke pot but won't get out of bed in the morning. That's what I'm talking about. Those are the people you say, I'm sorry, I can't help you. Let me see you help yourself, and then come see me. Now, I know some will probably go against what I think, but I'm telling you, the Lord doesn't expect for us to help the ones that want to be sluggards. They prove that they're sluggards. The Lord said, you know what you're to do, and I know what my position is. Now, 27 says, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works, the works that we're supposed to do. Okay? Like I said, in verse 26, it says, for what's a man profit? We can go out and do all those things, but our work should be for God, not for ourselves. Now let's look at John 14:7. John 14:7 says this. I'm turning my page there, folks, so bear with me this second, because I dropped it once. 14:7 says this. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. You know God. You know God. I know God. We've cried out to him. We've said things to him. We've told him we don't believe there's a God because this has happened or that has happened. The minute we mention the word of God, God's ears are perked up and we know him. But we decide to reject him when we say, I don't believe you. Or I don't believe in you. Or I won't trust you. I won't have faith and go out on a limb and take that chance to do the right thing. Regardless, like Jesus said, he was going to Jerusalem back in Matthew. He was going to go there and he was going to say what he had to say, and the elders were going to do what they were going to do. And he said, I'm going to trust God because God, my Father in heaven, said he would protect me. And that's what we should do. And I know that's my position. I know that's what I have to do. I know I don't always do the right thing, folks. There are times I've sinned, and there are times that I'll sin in the future. I will slip up. I will be angry. I will do things. I will say things. It's just our human nature to do that. We get caught up with Satan. But that doesn't mean we go, oh, okay, well, I'm still saved, and use it as a cloak. When you're aware of your sins, folks, and you continue to sin and do the wrong things, then you know that you're rejecting Christ and you're turning your back on him. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. Why do you think these things are written in Scripture, folks? So that we can know who Jesus is. So that we can know what our position is. So that we can know where we're going to go when we go to heaven. How things are going to be. In fact, I was looking last week, and people say, well, how do you know there's a heaven? How do you know what heaven looks like? Is heaven this or is heaven that? The Bible tells us what heaven is. Someday I'll go through the story of where it explains exactly the streets of gold, the different gems that were used, the gates that were built, the temple that's within. There are people there now looking down from heaven, making choices and judgments. I don't want to be judged by them for my faults. You know, when we get saved, people say, if you're saved, you never have to worry about it. No, I don't, but I do have to be concerned. I have to go, did I do the right thing? Am I doing the right thing? I ask a lot of questions when I do my preaching, and here's some that I want to ask you now. As a sinner, do you know? Do you know that nothing you can do will save your soul? The only one that can save your soul is Jesus Christ. Many things you do will get you there. They can get you to heaven. But there's a lot of things that will get you tossed into hell real fast. So I ask you, do you know whether you're going to go to heaven or you're going to hell? Are you working your way to heaven by doing what Jesus asked? And I don't mean by works, because works is not what gets us there. It's what Jesus did on the cross that gets us to heaven. but we should be living right following him. He said, pick up your bed and follow me. He also told the rich man, give up all your riches. As if the rich man said, I already do all that. He already follows all the Ten Commandments. He does all those things. What more can I do? And Jesus said, then sell off your possessions and follow me. You don't need to have everything in this world. You need to have Jesus Christ. Because when you die, you can't take all those possessions with you. Only Jesus' death is going to save us. We have a lot that we work that we have to do before we do die. I say this all the time. I say, I know Jesus Christ. But do I really know Jesus Christ? Do you really know Jesus Christ? Do you read your Bible? I know my Lord, and I know my Lord loves me. I know Jesus is my Savior. I know I am forgiven. I know I have been washed by the blood of the Lamb. All my sins are forgiven, not just the ones that I committed in my past, but the ones that I'll commit in the future. Because when you accept Jesus Christ, you are held in his hands. Nothing can pluck you from the hand, the Father. Nothing can take you out of God's hand. Nothing. It says right in the Bible, it says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. No man can pluck you from my hand. When you're his, you're his. Children make mistakes. You watch little kids, they'll do something stupid, like they'll throw a rock and they'll hit a car, they'll break a window, or they may damage something, or they're doing something to push their brother or sister down or something, and the parents will say, what'd you do that for? They don't really know. They just did it. They reacted. That's how our sins sometimes are. We act. We don't think about what the consequences are. But we're forgiven for them because God says, I look at you as my children. You're not as smart as I am. You're not as wise as I am. I have more wisdom than any man will ever have. But God is merciful. God is love. God is forgiveness. And God is definitely grace, unimaginable grace. And he loves us all, and he wants for us all to come to heaven. But we can't get there by being disobedient. We can only get there by being obedient. Jesus doesn't want us to come to heaven living as this world. In fact, the Bible says live in the world, but not as the world. We have to make a decision to follow the Lord, and that takes faith. It takes faith in Jesus Christ. It takes trust. We have to trust him. We have to look to him and say, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to give up myself. I'm going to give up my self-will. I'm going to give up my self-desire. I'm going to give up myself and everything and start looking to the Lord for sacrifices that I should make as a Christian. What can I do? What can I sacrifice to show that I'm a Christian? Does it mean I stop hanging around with some of the people I hung around with? It could. Does it mean I stop drinking and drugging and doing things like that? It should. Does it mean that I learn to curb my tongue? Absolutely. And yes, it also means that we have to go around people that we don't really necessarily like. But we do it because that's what the Lord asked us to do. He says, you're to be my witness. You're to show that you're better than that. You're to show that you can be around the roughest of people and still shine for me like the light that I asked you to shine for. And then we should ask our Father in heaven forgiveness, things that we do wrong. We should be on our knees. We should be asking, Lord, help us and save us. Keep us from our sin life. That should be a daily prayer. We shouldn't have to go around wondering with a chip on our shoulder. Is God going to forgive us? Is he a mean God? Is God really a gracious God and he'll forgive my sin? The devil casts all those doubts in your mind. Tell the devil, get thee behind me. Just like Jesus said to Peter when Peter was starting to say, don't do this. You don't have to die for us. You don't have to do that. He started casting doubt. And Jesus knew right then. He said, this is not of my Father. This is from Satan. Just like we should be doing when we start to think to do wrong and then do it anyways. This is from Satan. Satan wants me to do these things. God wants me to do right. I'm not perfect, folks. I've done things wrong. And I've even done them intentionally, knowingly, going to do them anyways. And then later I feel like a fool because God said, if you'd have just done it my way, it would have worked out anyway. But no, I went and did it my way. What was it, Elvis Presley sang the song, I Did It My Way? Well, you can do it your way, but it doesn't always mean that you're doing it the way Jesus wanted you to. If you're doing things for the Lord, that's what it should be. Not my way, but the Lord's way. I've had to beg for forgiveness from the Lord. Not because I have to beg, trust me. I only have to turn to him and say, please forgive me, Father, and he does. But my begging is because I want him to know that I love him, that I need to be forgiven. Because I am a sinner. I also know, though, that my God loves me, and he forgives me. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And if we honestly believe that, we also know that he forgives us. If we honestly know the Lord, we know he loves us and wants not just here on earth, but most definitely in heaven. We cannot get to heaven if we're not willing to know him, if we're not willing to follow him. How do we get to know him if we aren't following him? Even in death and in sacrifices, that means nothing if we're not doing it for him. The sacrifices of selfishness, we should be tossing to the side. Saying, even though I want these things, they're worldly things, they're not godly things. They're not of the Lord. No life isn't fair. It's not. It's not always wonderful. But we know that the Lord, our Father in heaven, is watching. And he's waiting for us to serve him. He's waiting for us to make that decision to say, I want to go to heaven. I want a better life. I don't want to suffer in hell. I don't need to live like this world. It says in the Bible, it says we're to live in the world, not as the world. Honoring him, we would do just that. We would live in the world, but not as the world. We know he loves us. We know he's given us our rewards. They're not financial rewards. They're not emotional rewards. They're not physical worlds. It's not physical stuff. Our body's just a body. We're going to suffer. We're going to make sacrifices not only with our body, with our mind, and with our possessions. But we're going to have a spiritual life, a much wonderful, more beautiful life if we just do what Jesus asks us. And I know he's my Savior. And I know he holds my future. The question is, does he hold your future? And will he hold your future? Because Jesus is our victory. And this is our song. It's called Victory in Jesus. God bless you. Thank you for being here. I'll play this song out. It's a little more than a minute. And then the message will end, folks. So have a great day. God bless you. See you again next Sunday. Come find me, William Preacher Bill Barnes, over on. God bless you. Have a good Sunday.